adding great new ag tech to your farming operation. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Good morning. Welcome to the morning podcast on the 2nd of December, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. They're online at ffbt.com. We'll preview one of our speakers, Chad Colby, at the upcoming Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo. He'll be talking about ag tech on the farm, including drones. Also, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the warm-up is on the way today. Sunshine, too. And the markets rebounded just a bit yesterday. Numbers and market analysis with Tom Fritz. The news is next here on Hat.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The ag tech you need for your farm and a new nitrogen supplement from Corteva. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Chad Colby will be one of the featured speakers at this year's Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo. You see Chad on TV's This Week in Agribusiness with Max Armstrong doing an agricultural technology segment. The expo is set for December 14th, 15th, and 16th at Grand Park in Westfield. Colby's presentation is titled The Top 10 Technologies Your Farm Will Need. Some of the basics include the cell phone and tablet you carry around with you.
And then I'm going to make a lot of folks a little uneasy because we're going to talk about some of that automation that you can put on your tractors and your combines now. And we're talking way past auto steer. And I think those are kind of the big ones right now. But the exciting part is getting people to start to look at their operation a little differently and figuring out where technology can make the biggest difference, especially when we're all faced with these efficiency challenges and labor challenges. And that's where technology can really make a big difference.
That presentation will be Tuesday, December 14th at 2 p.m. Colby is back on stage Wednesday the 15th at 9:30 a.m. discussing drones with Purdue Extension and drone retailers.
And this year, we're definitely going to show some forward-thinking equipment. We're going to show a great little drone that's, you know, $800 right out of the box that, you know, weighs as much as a Diet Coke and anybody can fly it. It's super easy. Great scouting tool for very, very low cost. You know, especially if you're trying to do any kind of crop scouting, you can get that money back really quickly. But then we'll push the envelope a little bit also. We'll show some new drone technology where maybe you want to fly 3,000 acres a day, and how could I do that?
Exhibitor space is sold out for the expo, so there are plenty of companies for you to come chat with and learn more about. Machinery Pete will also be on the seminar stage Tuesday right before Colby's presentation. More info at IndianaFarmExpo.com.
Midwest Pork Conference is excited to return to an in-person gathering at a brand new location. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds, Lebanon, Indiana, for a day filled with information you need for your farm. The conference features educational seminars, a huge trade show, and networking with other pig farmers over a delicious lunch catered by Shoup's Country Foods. Registration info at MidwestPorkConference.com. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds for a bigger and better Midwest Pork Conference.
A new biological from Corteva that provides crops with an alternative, sustainable nitrogen source to optimize yield potential is hitting the market for 2022.
I'd like to introduce you Tricia N. It's a nitrogen fixating bacterium that'll help our row crop growers continue to grow better and more sustainable corn and soybeans.
Ryan Ritter is Corteva's U.S. product manager for fungicides and biologicals. He says you spray Utricia N on a growing plant.
Typically at that V4 to V8 time frame, corn, soybeans a little bit wider range, wheat will be a little bit wider range, kind of gearing it towards that flag leaf stage. As we spray that, the Utricia N, the bacterium, will grow within that plant and it'll continue to move as that plant grows to help pull in nitrogen from the atmosphere.
With fertilizer prices at extremely high levels, Ritter says it'll be critical for growers to take advantage of every pound of nitrogen that you're putting out there, and adding Utricia N as a supplement will do just that.
This will dramatically help with efficiency within that plant. We're still recommending you use your current nitrogen program. We're not looking to replace nitrogen. We're not looking to replace our stabilizers. We feel that this is going to be a supplemental form of nitrogen that's going to help that grower be more sustainable. We're going to not risk the runoff as we get big rains. We're not going to risk the leaching throughout the growing season. Or as we get dry and that root system can't take in nitrogen, this nitrogen will be living within that plant year-round.
To learn more about Utricia N, we have a link to more information at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
He's the closest thing to a superstar we have in agriculture. Machinery Pete, the nation's foremost expert on farm equipment. He knows where to get the best deals and what the best equipment is for your operation. See Machinery Pete in person December 14th, sponsored by Bain Welker Equipment and Farm Credit Mid-America. Also appearing on December 15th, Ag Tech expert Chad Colby with a special program on drones and a chance for you to win a state-of-the-art drone for your farm. It's all happening at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14th through 16th in Westfield, Indiana.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. All right, as we take a look at the setup here, much warmer air coming in as we move through the next couple of days. This is going to be aided by better sunshine potential. Look, yesterday was just a... Well, it was a gray day. I was hoping we could get more sun. It just didn't happen. But I think we see better sunshine potential here for your Thursday. That'll push temperatures. And as we move through Friday, we'll see a little bit of cool air try and come into northern Indiana early on. And there's going to be a disturbance that moves across Michigan through the first half of the day. Some of that cloud cover may get down into northern tier counties. But overall, we look to see the warmest air out of this southern surge come as we move through Friday. Saturday, I'm still keeping us dry, but I think we revert back to some cooler temperatures as cold air comes south out of the Great Lakes. High pressure, though, still is sitting right on top of Indiana as we move through the overnight Saturday night. That means we start with sunshine on Sunday, looking for clouds to increase in the afternoon, and I think we see some moisture coming late afternoon, evening, and overnight in Indiana. This frontal boundary passage gives us anywhere from a tenth to probably half an inch of rain, an output coverage at around 80 to 90% of the state. Much colder behind it. Look, Monday and Tuesday of next week will be likely the coldest air of the season so far. Very chilly. And in that cold air mass Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, yep, we've got some moisture coming. I believe it's snow. And I think we'll see some good accumulations for the first round this year. I'm putting out 1 to 3 is my initial thought right now. That's not an official forecast. Keep in mind, this is next Tuesday night and Wednesday. I'm not going to even go close to trying to put out an official forecast like that. But you get the idea. We will see snow and we will see accumulations. And I think that happens over most of the state. The only place we might see more of a mix or sloppy wet snow would be down in far southern tier counties near the Ohio River. Behind that, we are still chilly for Thursday, but I think we are dry. We finish the week as we move from Thursday night through Friday with another round of moisture. Rain first because temperatures moderate late Thursday afternoon, and then that rain goes back to snow before ending. I think we look at 60% coverage with liquid equivalent totals anywhere from a few hundreds to probably half an inch across the state, and very chilly for the 10th, that's Friday, and we stay that way the 11th as well. Dry, but definitely chilly. I think we will finally feel like December is here as we move through next week, particularly Monday through Saturday. That's the way the forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat higher on Wednesday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, December 14th through 16th at Grand Park in Westfield, Indiana. It's a free show, free parking, free seminars, a free drone giveaway, and a full exhibit floor. Hope you plan to join us. Tom Fritz joining me for market analysis. I spoke with Tom right at the end of Wednesday trade. It was a very volatile day in outside markets, but the ags were able to stop the selling of the previous two sessions.
We've got some, you know, pretty good volatility here. Yeah, we follow the outside markets, meaning equity markets, crude oil markets, and, you know, they've become subject to the speculation behind the new COVID virus and its potential possible impacts it could have. Also in the energy markets, you know, in addition to, you know, the possible lockdowns due to this new virus variant, OPEC Plus is in the process of a two-day meeting as we speak. And tomorrow, supposedly, they're going to let us know if they're recent plan of adding 400,000 barrels a day each month will continue. And I've heard speculation going back and forth, they'll stop that in January. No, they'll continue with that in January. So it's kind of up in the air, but really makes for some volatility in our marketplaces. We saw crude oil stocks down noticeably from the EIA today, but gasoline stocks were up even more noticeably. So I think, that in turn, limited the corn rally because of the relationship to ethanol. It's been my opinion that ethanol prices got a little bit too steep in relation to gasoline prices. And, I thought, we'd see the weekly grind come down and stocks build, which we did see. But I think, a lot of the corn movement today was just a technical bounce in response to the recent sell-off. Wheat market, that too is in a correction phase. Sure, Chicago wheat's up a little bit. Kansas City wheat is down a little bit. Minneapolis wheat trades in a world of its own. But because Kansas City's losing to Chicago, suggests to me that the wheat market continues to be in a correction phase despite the slightly higher prices. Soybeans today, thank you for the meal market. And yesterday, Andy, I talked about the meal market ability to stand in yesterday. And where would soybeans be if the meal market hadn't been able to stand in? Well, the meal market gave us a really nice rally today. I think that helped out the soybean market, as did talk of China buying some beans down at the Gulf overnight, as well as in Brazil for January shipment. And that help explains the bull spreading that we're seeing in the soybean market January to March. But, longer term, I'm not holding my breath on the soybean market. The weather in Brazil remains really conducive to the development of a really good crop. And, given the timeliness of the planting we saw this past fall, early winter, Brazil's going to have a lot of beans ready for export come last half January. And I have to think that, it will sharply curtail the recent U.S. soybean export program. But, right now, it is what it is. You take it one day at a time. But longer term, I'm not holding my breath on the soybean market. Now, soybean meal, cash markets for meal have been quite good. And, the cash offers continue to be rather high. But I do think soybean processor is indeed catching up with his crush. He's had some excellent, excellent crush margins. But please note that those crush margins have come down with the break in the flat price. What was it, 2 weeks ago? The January board crush was just over $2 a bushel. And yesterday they traded as low as $1.32 a bushel. And this afternoon they go home at, $1.46, $1.47 a bushel. So usually when the board crush comes down, that would suggest, okay, the soybean processor is starting to catch up with his crush. And later this afternoon, we'll see some crush numbers from the USDA monthly crush numbers. So we'll see how that transpires. But right now, soybean oil, put a fork in it as long as the crude oil market stays under pressure. But that could change tomorrow, depending on what OPEC Plus decides to say. So, today, I think today was more of an attempt at consolidation, some minimal upside retracement of the recent break. But as far as the items, outside influences that are impacting our markets, meaning this new COVID variant and, what OPEC Plus is going to do, our markets are going to stay in, call it, if you will, a state of flux.
A state of flux, so hard to call whether or not on Thursday we build on the little bit of momentum built on Wednesday.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right in that regard. Tomorrow, Thursday, is weekly export sales day. And, the can't help but notice, you know, the trades, they're not looking for much wheat. So-so corn sales, bean sales noticeably coming down, and even soybean meal sales coming down. So we'll see what those have to say. But I think more importantly, the trade will continue to look at outside markets. And, you know, as far as the soybean complex goes, the weather in South America.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Market Review for a Wednesday. It was up about a nickel in corn, December up an even nickel. 4 cents higher, March corn, 571.5. May, 573, up three. And July, up almost three at 573.5. Beans, January, 11 cents higher, 1228.25. March, 1235, up 8.5. And May up 7.75 at 12.43. And March wheat 3.25 up at 7.90.5. Higher in the meats with February live cattle 138.60 up 70. Febline hogs 15 cents better at 80.12. And that is the Wednesday review. I'm Andy Eubank on Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.